I think there are people today who do not know this. I believe that the paddock is sitting on top of that creek, very close to it.
Because it must have been your property that to get into the Northville Fair, we used to walk across the tile, so we didn't pay admission.
I remember that. Oh, that old tile across that creek. Oh, yeah. That was on the other side of River Street, though.
Yes.
That was next to Fred Wendt's house and Mr. Scipio's house.
Oh, so that wasn't on your property?
No, that tile was not on our property. Okay. But this is the property that we're now all talking about. Right. You walked across that tile. I thought only the Bealetowners. You weren't a Bealetowner.
No, but we knew how to get to Bealetown.
Oh, okay. Because that crack to get into the fair for free was strictly for Bealetowners. Now, I can't figure out how you... about this time, Ann and I had... This was before the cutoff went through there. Ann and I had got married, and the property ran... Of course, the west end of the property was River Street.
Right.
So at the end of River Street...
The south end.
South end, where River Street ended at the Rouge River, Ann and I built a log cabin. And we were living there when the 7 Mile Road cut went through. And, of course, that was bad.
It was sad to lose
your home. It was sad. Really. It was sad, really. And they moved the log cabin, and I understand the log cabin is out on 7 Mile Road someplace. It's still out there.
I think at Napier and 7 Mile, if I could be correct.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
And then the other little corner of the property we sold to Hoffman's. Now, Henry Hoffman was a star high school basketball player.
Of course.
Henry. And his father was a horseman who had horses, who had the stable on South Center Street. They're parking those cars right now. The McDonald's parking these used cars, and the racetrack uses for a parking lot.
And they rented out horses, didn't they, to ride?
He had a stable. He trained horse in it. He worked for the Kaiser when he was in Germany. Mr. Hoffman worked for the Kaiser as a horseman, and that's where he learned the trade. And of course, they came here. I remember Mrs. Hoffman. And I remember the German Stellens that we got every Christmas. She was a redheaded woman, and Henry was redheaded.
Yep.
Now, Henry had to... I graduated in 39. Henry had to graduate...
35. Benny's class. See him at the class reunion.
Okay, because it was a year in front of my sister. Mm-hmm. And he was a basketball player. I often wonder where he is now.
California.
Oh, is he?
But he comes every 5 years for the class reunion.
Fantastic. So then, of course, once they put the 7 Mile Road cutoff through there, that opened up all this property.
Yes.
And I built the Good Time Party Store right there. We had sold the corner to Belma for...
Belnor Restaurant.
For the Belnor Restaurant. We sold the old homestead to... And I say we, and I mean my mother. Of course,
yes,
this
of
was
course.
All my mother's stuff. And sold the old homestead to Don Ware. And there we were. Across the street from the Good Time Party Store was a vacant field. And then a lady from Livonia came and wanted to develop the corner across the street from the Belnor Drive. And she wanted to put a gas station in there. So we sold that. And... I don't know if a Marathon was the first gas station went in there or not.
It seems to me it was.
I know.
Marathon.
I think it was an Marathon when it went out of business.
I only remember Marathon.
Yeah. So now we got this other piece of property there. And the log cabin was there. Across the street was the log cabin. And I sold that cabin to a man by the name of Leroy Brooks, who worked for me in the party store for many, many years. So about this time, and I can't tell you the year, had to be very close to 1950, John Mack had bought the Ford garage of town.
The old bun
the
building.
The old bun building. Yep. And it is my understanding that Ford Motor Company is saying to Mr. Mack, you want to be in business, do something. All of Ford dealers, the old Ford dealers that you see, excuse me, in every little town, you can go in little towns up north and see that same bun building.
Yes.
They're all the same. You know it was a Ford dealership. There are lots of those buildings still around. He had to expand his business or lose his franchise. And George Clark, I think, was John Mack's real estate man at the time. They came down, and there were two sites that were available. One was out where Guernsey Dairy is today, out near there.
Yes.
And it might have been the Guernsey Dairy site. I don't think so, though, but very close to there. And the other site was ours. And with that log cabin there, it was tight. They needed more room. They wanted more. And back 20 years ago, it would have been sufficient if he could have got the log cabin. So they got an option from Brooks on the cabin. And by this time, my dad had passed on. And so I negotiated a deal for the property for my mother. It was her property. And John Mack bought that property. And that's when John Mack Ford was built.
And that's still a Ford dealership today.
And today it's, and of course they bought the corner now. And I don't know if they bought Belma out or renting, but they're using that whole thing, plus the fairgrounds parking lot they got.
When the races aren't in.
When the races aren't on. So that's the story of the 7 Mile Road Cut.
That 6 acres has a history.
Yes, it really does. It really does. There's a swamp. I can remember. There's a swamp across the railroad track, right due east of this whole thing. Used to be. I haven't been back there in years. And they had a crack running underneath that railroad track, and it came out of the railroad. It came out, and then it got to the road, and it went down. And that crack used to run across our field. And it drained that whole swamp in there. Now they built that whole thing up in there. I don't know where that water's going. I don't know if
it's
the swamp...
It's got to be someplace.
I don't know if the swamp is still across the street there or not. But I don't know the name of that street that runs back of the railroad track, but I guess it's pretty well...
Gerald Avenue. I guess it's pretty well developed now. Yes, it is. We have
businesses
back there. We used to go only back there to pick pussy willows that grew on the hillside of the track there.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, we used to cut from there. We'd cut and we'd walk all the way over to the lake.
And go swimming where you weren't supposed to.
Where we weren't supposed to, and that was called Curtis Lake this time.
Now it's in the Highland Lake subdivision.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, there, you know, Del Campbell used to live on that lake.
Correct.
And Del Campbell used to put a shanty on that lake. And Del Campbell and I got to be pretty good friends. And I of course, I've been a fisherman all my life. And I'd sit in that shanty in the wintertime and look down that hole, and there'd fish come through there that would scare you. They're too big to spear.
And that lake was deep, correct?
Oh, it was. You know,
we used to call it bottomless.
Right. Back in those days, you know, they didn't have the depth finders and things they got now. But you could put a rock on a rope, and when it hit the marl, you'd never know that you were on the marl bottom. It, you know, I presume at some point in time you'd hit something solid, but it was deep. It was
good, cold water.
It was spring fed.
And good fish.
I was always told that spring system was part of the old Silver Spring system.
probably would be in that location.
Of course, you know, it's easy to point the finger. I remember the old Silver Spring building in the back. I remember when they used to bottle the Silver Spring pop back there. Cream soda was my favorite.
Oh, yes.
But you can't buy cream soda like that. Well, they have cream soda on the market, but it's not like that Silver Spring cream soda. But we would go back there, and I remember the front door of the building. You walk in, and as you walk in, there was a round railing, and you could look down and see the water coming up, the spring water. That was the original Silver Spring. And the overflow was coming out the spring down there where, that was my first business venture. Harvey Ritchie and I used to sell cups down at the Silver Spring. We almost made $1 million.
You know. Now, how old were you then?
Small.
And sold cups, penny a piece?
Penny a piece, yeah. We'd pay $40. All right, we'd pay $40, 40 cents, 100, $4, 1,000. $40 for a big 10,000, I guess, whatever it was. And we would sell, we paid less than a half cent a piece for them and sold them for a penny. So we made pretty good profit on this stuff, you know. And we'd sell 100 cups, 150 cups there on a Sunday. And we used to do that. Well, then we expanded the business. Then we got a little box and put ice cream in it. And that's when the railroad stepped in. I can't remember that guy's name up there in that depot, but he didn't like us too well, and we couldn't sell there anymore. Oh. They moved us across the street, and
almost ruined your business.
They did, about ruined our business. But of course, when Manning and Locking went in there, the things have gone dry. I think digging the gravel pits, my own personal opinion, I have no proof of this. But they dig it all. I think they lowered the water table, and I think that's one of the reasons they had the problem. Pardon me?
Lost the spring.
Yep.
From
yeah.
that. That's yeah. true. That can happen. And it filled the lake. The holes they made turned into lakes. Charles, your story's been great. Your memory is fantastic, and I happen to know your age, younger than mine. Now, tell us your family, who you married, and what year you got married, and about your children.
Oh, goodness, now you're asking things the year I got married, you got to be fooling. My wife has left the room.
We'll ask her. Hold on. Just a minute. Right. And when were you married, Charles?
June 26, 1948. And that just happened to be the first day of bass season.
Oh.
So I went fishing before. We didn't get married till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. My wife about had a fit. They were looking for me. They called my house. My mother says, well, I don't know, but I think he was fishing. And I think I was fishing with Junior Hicks, if I'm not sure. Gil Perry and Marv Gunspill. But I remember going fishing. But I was married in 48. And
you married a nice Plymouth girl?
Married a Plymouth girl whose father didn't talk to me for about 5 years after we were married. I remember him saying to me, I said, we're going to get married. And he said, have you got any money? And I said, no. And he said, well, where are you going to live? And I said, well, I hadn't thought about that yet. And he just got a funny look on his face and buried his nose back in the newspaper. And he didn't talk to me too much. He did come to the wedding. He did give her away. But after a while, you know, we built the log cabin, and I was working. Oh, I remember when I said, are you going to get married? Yeah, I said, we're going to get married. He said, have you got a job? And I said, no. I was laid off at Ford's. It was one of the periods when that didn't go over too good. But anyway, of course, I went back to work toolmaking, and toolmakers were pretty well paid. And so we built the log cabin. and everything was hunky-dory. I treated her well. She worked for a couple of years after. She worked for Tate's Cleaners from the time she was in high school. And we decided to have a family, and so Susan was born first, and Susan is today 35. And then 10 years later, Roger was born.
And
we decided we should have another one. And Susan was just so wrapped up in horses all of her life. I can remember we moved to Heartland so that Susan could have her first horse. And she got her first horse when she was a freshman in high school. So this was like 10 years after we moved. And my wife came back to Northville and ran into Susan's kindergarten teacher. Can't tell you her
name. Grace Pollock.
No.
Anne Chismar.
Grace Pollock was, I believe, Rogers. But anyway, I don't remember who it was. Yeah. But it was Susan's kindergarten teacher. And Anne walked up to her and says, "Do you remember me? I'm Anne." "Oh, yes." And she says, "My daughter was Susan." And this teacher said to my wife, "Did Susan ever get her horse?" Oh. Now, you can imagine what an impression a five-year-old girl made on a kindergarten teacher when the kindergarten teacher, 10 or 12 years later, says, "Did the girl ever get her horse?" So she must have been pretty horse crazy. But, so we got a horse. And being as interested as my daughter was in horses, she did well. I was a 4-H leader in Livingston County for 15 years. And you could tell the kids whose parents said, "Like to have you show horses." And you could tell the kids who said to their parents, "I want to show horses." The kids that want to show horses were all good. Mm-hmm. And the kids that the parents were pushing, they could care less. They
what really kind of horse did she have?
Appaloosas. So it's the only thing we ever had were Appaloosa horses. And of course, then Roger came along. And here's Big Sister showing these horses, and nothing but what he's going to show her. He showed at the Michigan State Fair when he was 5 years old, won the class.
Fantastic.
And went on. Now today, Susan went to Alma, graduated, and became a school teacher. Taught school for about a year and a half and hated every single minute of it. And got married and bought 30 acres and built an indoor arena, and now she gives riding lessons. And her husband is electrician who wires robots, the robotic machinery.
He does wires
at computers. They have a big indoor arena. She gives lessons. She is just so happy. She's teaching. She uses her teaching skills, and yet she's doing what she wants to do.
Fantastic.
My son is a pipe fitter. He installs fire protection sprinkling systems in ceilings of buildings, and today every commercial building built has to have it. So he's busy. He runs a crew in the daytime, and at night, would you believe, he trains horses, he gives lessons, he is a licensed judge, he judges horse shows all over the state. He's got like 14 or 15 horse shows to judge. He's just going all the time. He really uses the pipe fitting for an avocation, and the horses are, sometimes he doesn't get home. He rides till sometimes 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, training horses. But he enjoys it. So the kids training in horses has always been good to them. And they enjoy it. 4-H kids, as a rule, as a group, have less trouble than the general population. You have less problems. They teach you. Boy Scouts do this too, don't get me wrong. It's not only 4-H.
But
my kids were involved in 4-H. We had a club. They went through as officers in the club. They were involved with the horses, and we never had any problems with the kids.
Our farm children in Northville area belong to that.
You have a responsibility, you know, and and I'm not trying to be funny or facetious with you, but 20 years ago, when I first got to Heartland, there was a big controversy of sex education in the school, and you go to the school board meetings and they say, are we going to teach sex education? Are we not going to teach it? And the old farmer stands up and says, you know, my kids know where those calves come from, you know?
That's right.
And, you know, you're not going to teach this farm kid too much about sex education. But anyway, they learn responsibility. They've got their animals, whether it's horses or cows or hogs or whatever, and they do have a certain responsibility, and I think it taught them a lot. I remember that my daughter, when she was a senior in high school, got invited to the senior prom and turned the kid down because she had a horse show the next day and had to wash the horse that night and get it all ready. And this is a true story.
It's priorities.
She went to college. And I'll never forget when I took Susan up there the first day. She was a scared little kid. She had visions of going to Michigan State College. And went to Michigan State College on a 4-H project for 3 days. And that was the end of Michigan State College. It was just too big.
Yeah.
Too big, she couldn't handle it. She ended up in a little school in Alma. And I remember when I took her up there, I said, now, Susan, you got to understand that you're not being sentenced to prison or anything like this. You want to come home. You got a problem. You call old dad. You know, you're here because you want to be here. I hope, you know. If you don't want to be here, call me up. Knowing that this psychology was going to work, you know, well, about 3 months down the road, about 10 o'clock at night, the phone rings, and it's Susan, and she says, you remember what you said to me? And I said, yeah. She says, I want to come home. Oh, my God. She wants to come home. So, I said, and she's crying, and I said, Susan, it's 10 o'clock at night, can't come up there now, I'll be up there in the morning, your mother and I'll be up there in the morning, 8 o'clock, or whatever. So we go up there, and we pick her up out of that dorm, and we go to Elias Brothers, and we're having breakfast, and she's homesick, she's lonesome, but, that wasn't the whole reason. The reason was that she got a letter from the Appaloosa Association with the list of the horse shows for the next year. And like the first two shows were in April, two shows in May. School didn't get out till May. She's going to miss four horse shows. And this is just more than she could count. She couldn't handle it. This was breaking her heart. So I said, well, Susan, I cut her a deal. I says, I'll tell you what, we'll go to the horse shows. The horse shows are always on Saturday and Sunday. We will go to the horse shows. You will not miss these horse shows. You stay in school. She says, but who's going to get the horse ready? Your old dad will get the horse ready. I'll wash the horse. I'll trim his whiskers. I'll do this. Which we did do. It worked out very fine. We pull into that dormitory with our motor home and the horse trailer in the back. And Friday night, we go and we pick up Susan. We had Roger with us because he was showing two. And two horses. And we drive to Muskegon, to Sault Ste. Marie, to Timbuktu, do the horse show. Get her back to that dorm Sunday night, and then we drove home. That was only four times.
But a family who loves horses stay together.
Well, you know, on a, when we show horses, when you go to a horse show, it's on a Saturday as a rule. We had our motor home. We had the horse trailer. And the horse shows were all over Michigan pretty much and all over the country. We showed in Columbus, Ohio. We showed in Wheeling, West Virginia. We showed in Kansas City. We showed pretty much all over. We went with the National Appaloosa Association show. But the point is, most of the time that we went, it was in Michigan. We would go to the shows in Michigan, Muskegon and Ludington and that area. But the whole point of my story is that when that vehicle pulled out of the driveway, it was the whole family. It was Roger and Susan and Chuck and Ann. And Ann would get the clothes and take care of the food, and I'd take care of the horses, and the kids would show. And they loved it. They weren't doing it because, you know, I'd beg them. I'd say, are you sure you want to go to this show this Sunday? Well, yeah, we need the points. You know, we ought to go. Okay, fine. And don't get me wrong. I was enjoying it as much as they were.
Sure.
But that was horse showing, and that our time did. I today am a member of the Mounted Division of Livingston County Sheriff's Posse, and I ride in probably 6 parades a year. And they call us up. Next week I work the Pollardville Fair. I'll be on the dispatch desk for the whole week at the Pollardville Fair as a member of the Livingston County Sheriff's Department. And so I ride.
Still in the business. That's great. I assume by now, Charles, you have retired. As such.
You're touching a sore spot. at this very minute, I'm not working, but I am actively seeking a job. I recently had the misfortune of having my company, which was Heel and Tackle Company, was bought by an outsider in Yakima, Washington, and they moved the whole operation to Yakima, Washington, and put 55 of us right out on the street. So I'm without a job. I've been in the fishing tackle business for like the last 10 years. I worked for Ed Eppinger for 10 years, really. I've been in the fishing business longer than 10 years. And I deer hunted. Ed was a dear friend of mine, as well as my boss, and I was his plant manager, but we'd go fishing together, we hunted together, we'd fish in the Arctic Circle, and I fished many, many places with Ed, and it was an enjoyable job. Unfortunately, about 3 years ago, Ed died of cancer, and I went to work for a company called Heel and Tackle, which makes flatfish, and they were bought out by a conglomerate here in town, a company called Sedco, which was owned by Velasquez Printing Company. And these were money people. They bought the company as an investment and didn't have a fish person per se. They had a president of the company. They had a controller. They didn't have anybody that could build it and run the factories. And they had 3 factories. So they hired me as the general manager, and I had 3 factories that I ran, and I had 3 plant managers, which were very knowledgeable in the business. And I just sat back and fished, and how many people do you know that got paid to go fish? You know, this is the way that was. But we did too good a job for them, because we turned the company around and made it very profitable, and they sold it. So next week I go to the Tackle Manufacturers Show, and I'm going to be looking for a job. If it happens, fine. If it doesn't, I'm not going to worry about it. I guess I'm going to be retired. When you get my age and you apply for a job, people kind of look at you, But I want to work. I can't. I've been off since March, and I'm serious when I say I just can't hack it. I fished till I can't fish anymore. And I fought with the wife till I can't, she wins all the cases anymore.
So what you need is a place to spend your energies.
I had a bypass on Christmas Day last year, and I feel great right now. And I've got to have something to do. I got to keep going. I don't want to. I can't have retirement. When I sold the store, I tried retirement 20 years ago, and it didn't work then. And I'm just very antsy now, whether I find something or not.
Well, I can say that we here in Northville hope if you do find something, it'll be in our area, and we'll have an Altman back in Northville again doing something.
Well, that would be nice.
But Charles, I want to thank you for taking the time to drive to Northville from Heartland and for making this tape for the Northville Historical Society. My own personal enjoyment out of listening to you today, I know will be magnified many, many times. And I want to thank you for taking part in our project.
Well, it was my pleasure.